Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
Well, this morning, few in number, but I'm glad that you're here, and a number of people are watching online, so that's awesome. And we're working our way through a series titled Things We Need to Be Reminded Of. Last week we looked at forgiving others, and this morning I want to remind you of what Francis Chan calls the forgotten God, the Holy Spirit. We're very familiar with God the Father, who loves us and is gracious to us. We see in the story of the Gospels, God the Son, Jesus who came and died and rose again. We know the third person of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit, but often he gets lost in the shuffle and we really don't get him. We get that he's the third member of the Trinity, but the Trinity is a little confusing. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. And so that's a little hard to get our minds around. So this morning, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I'm hoping that you will get to know this wonderful third person of the Trinity, because he is important for your spiritual journey. In fact, he's the part of the Trinity that you are in touch with most often, but you may not even be aware of that. It is the Spirit of God who applies what Jesus did on the cross to our lives. He is the one who puts Jesus' life in you. He is the one who transforms us into the image of Christ. He is the one who empowers us to have the life that is really life. He's the one who speaks to you both through his word, and he speaks on his own to your spirit. He's at work in those who believe, and but the fact that he's at work in us doesn't mean that we know him well. Now, I've read a lot of theology, and I have all kinds of books, systematic theologies, and in most of my systematic theology sets, they'll have a chapter called The Doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And it's vital that we think correctly about the Holy Spirit. But it's even more important that we experience the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like the difference between thinking about love and being in love. So my hope is that as we walk through today, and that you'll get to know the Spirit well enough to walk in step with him. So given that overview, I want to go to our friends at the Bible Project, and they're going to give us kind of an overview of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures.
If you've ever heard the phrase, the Holy Spirit, and you want to know what it means, where do you start?
Well, you have to start on page 1 of the Bible, where the uncreated world is depicted as this dark, chaotic place. But then, above the chaos, God's Spirit is there, hovering, ready to bring about life and order and beauty.
Okay, but what is God's Spirit?
Yeah, so the Spirit is the way the biblical authors talk about God's personal presence. The Hebrew word is ruach.
Ruach.
Yeah, you gotta clear your throat at the end.
So what is it?
Well, ruach can refer to a number of different things, but what they all have in common is energy.
Energy, how so?
So there's an invisible energy that makes the clouds move or the tree branches sway.
Right, wind.
So in Hebrew, that's ruach.
Okay.
Now take a big breath. So you feel that inside you?
Yeah, the air?
Well, specifically the energy, right? The vitality in your body that you get from breathing deeply, that too is ruach. And this is the same word used in the Bible to describe God's personal presence. Just like wind and breath are invisible, God's Spirit is invisible. Wind is powerful, and so God's Spirit is powerful. And just as breath keeps us alive, so God's Spirit sustains all of life.
Yeah, ruach.
Now, as we continue on in the story of the Bible, we see God's ruach giving special empowerment to people for specific tasks. The first person in the Bible this happens to is Joseph.
God's Spirit enables him to understand and interpret dreams.
And then it happens to this guy named Bezalel, and he's an artist.
God's Spirit empowers him with wisdom and skills. He's given creative genius to make beautiful things in the tabernacle.
And we also see God's ruach empower a group of people called the prophets.
They're able to see what's happening in history from God's point of view.
That's exactly right. And here's the problem as the prophets saw it. While God's Ruach had created a really good world, humans have given in to evil. They've unleashed chaos into it through their injustice.
A new type of disorder.
Yes, and the prophet said the Spirit would come, just like in Genesis 1, but now to transform the human heart, to empower people to truly love God and others.
How will this new act of God's Spirit happen?
Well, centuries pass, and we are introduced to Jesus. And at the beginning of his mission, there's this beautiful scene where Jesus is being baptized in the waters of the Jordan River.
Yeah, the sky opens up, and God's Spirit comes and rests on him like a bird.
This story is saying that God's Spirit is empowering Jesus to begin the new creation. And we see this happening when he heals people or forgives their sins. He's creating life where there once was death.
Now, Israel's religious leaders oppose Jesus, and they eventually have him killed.
But even here, God's Spirit is at work. The earliest disciples of Jesus, who saw him alive from the dead, said it was God's energizing Spirit that raised Jesus.
This is the beginning of new creation.
Yes, and it's still going. When Jesus appeared to his closest followers, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
And soon after that, the Spirit powerfully comes on all of his disciples.
So that they can become a part of this new creation and share the good news and learn how to live by the energy and influence of God's Spirit.
And so today, the Spirit is still hovering in dark places.
Yes, pointing people to Jesus, transforming and empowering them so they can love God and others. And the Christian hope is that the Spirit is going to finish the job. The story of the Bible ends with a vision of a new humanity, living in a new world that's permeated with God's love and life-giving Spirit.
All right, I think that's helpful in terms of the overview of what the Spirit is and does, but it doesn't quite go far enough. See, whenever we talk about God, we need to use metaphors because God is totally other than what he has created. And so we use God as like, or we compare God to things that we understand to try to grasp a little bit about the God we don't understand. And so we use our imaginations. But when the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, it uses all kinds of metaphors that gives us insight into what the Spirit does. But sometimes the metaphors can be confusing. So the passage that we read in the book of Acts tells us that believers were filled with the Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit, well, that's, in that metaphor, it sounds like he's a liquid filling a cup. We hear about the Spirit moving in power. We hear about the Spirit descending in fire. In the video, we heard the Spirit described as a breath of energy. And with these kinds of metaphors that are all good and helpful, you kind of get the idea, though, that the Holy Spirit is a powerful, untamed, wild energy in our life. And he is that. Those metaphors are helpful, but they can also give us the wrong idea of the Holy Spirit. In those descriptions, the only way we imagine the Spirit, then the Spirit becomes kind of like the Force in Star Wars, right? It's just like this energy of that's there, but that's not who the Spirit is. The first thing that you need to know about the Spirit of God, despite the metaphors, is that he is a person, just like the other members of the Godhead are persons. Persons not in the sense that they are human, but they think and they have unique personalities and they relate and are relatable. We can't have a relationship with an energy, but we can and do have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Come with me to John chapter 15. And notice the personal pronouns that Jesus uses. When he, the advocate, comes, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. In John chapter 16, he goes on, and when he comes, He will prove the world to be in wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin because people do not believe in me. About righteousness because I'm going to the Father and where you can see me no longer. And about judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not only speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he makes known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me and will make known, and he will make known to you. The Spirit, Jesus constantly talks about him. Notice how the personal pronoun is used. It's not like a force in Star Wars. The Spirit is not an impersonal power. We don't refer to the Spirit as an it. We refer to him as he. He is relatable. You can speak to him. He has a personality. And notice what the Spirit does. He acts as a go-between between the Father and us, Jesus and us. And here's what we just read. He will go out from the Father and testify about Jesus. The Spirit, he will talk to the world about sin and judgment and righteousness. It says that he will guide us into truth. He will tell you what is to come. He will glorify Jesus. He will tell us what Jesus told him. That's the Spirit of God is not just some supernatural force. He's a person who takes on the role of bringing people to Jesus, and so that they can get to know Jesus. He glorifies Christ by delivering the words of Christ to us. One of the reasons why it's really hard to get to know the Spirit is because we talk to the Spirit and he's saying, hey, would you look at Jesus? We talk to him and he's always pointing to Christ. And look what Christ has done. And he's applying the work of Christ to our lives. And so he doesn't focus on himself so much, but he points to the person of Jesus. Kind of like the person who doesn't really talk about themselves. They talk about the one they love. But make no mistake, the Spirit is a member of a Trinity. And if you have a relationship with God, you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The only question is it a healthy relationship? Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, says this, "Do not quench the Spirit." The Holy Spirit is gentle. He does not force himself upon us. He is at work in you, but you can stop his work. He is calling you to be like Jesus, but you can stop that work in your life. He will lead you, but you can refuse to be led. He can convict you, but you can ignore the conviction. But whenever you say no to the Spirit, we quench the work that God wants to do on our insides. And my friends, that's a tragic loss because the Spirit wants what's best for us. When he is allowed to work in our lives, he not only applies the work of Christ to our life in salvation, but he is also a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance of what is to come, and he's causing this change in us. Galatians chapter 5, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you put your hand in his, the Spirit of God is at work in you producing these things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. These things are a byproduct of the relationship with the Spirit. They're not something that you produce on your own, but it's something that as we put our hand in and work hand in hand with the Spirit, when we don't quench what the Spirit is doing, this is kind of the byproduct that shows up in our life because he is the Spirit of love. He is the Spirit of joy. He is the Spirit of peace. He demonstrates patience, kindness, goodness to us. He is incredibly faithful and gentle. He helps us live the way we're called. So when we are in a relationship with him, we become like him. So Paul goes on to say in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Since he is producing the qualities in our lives, let us keep in step with him. You know, in talking about the Holy Spirit in 25 minutes, it's a big topic. I can't talk about everything. There's so many things I could tell you about how the spiritual spirit comes inside and he gives us spiritual gifts for building up the believers around you. And as you use those spiritual gifts, God is glorified in your life. I could talk about the power of the Spirit. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, talked about how all kinds of sinners, swindlers, sexually immoral, greedy, idolaters. He says, but this is what he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, says, and that's what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. God transforms us by his Holy Spirit. And he's done that in many of your lives, where you've seen him work in your life. You've been washed, you've been made holy, you've been forgiven by what Jesus has done on the cross and because the Spirit of Christ has applied that work to your life. We could focus on so many things, but I want to get just a little bit practical here for the rest of our time. Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. See, the gospel is all about life. Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. Here's what you need to know. If you want the abundant life that Jesus offers, life comes by keeping in step with the Spirit. We're brought from death to life by the Spirit. We live by the Spirit. The life of Jesus happens in us by the Spirit. You experience the fullness of the life of God has intended for you because of the Spirit of God is at work in you. We live by the Spirit. So since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So the question is how? How do you keep in step with the Spirit? I'm naturally a slow walker. I have a long torso, short legs. And so when I go walking with people, I am very aware that they walk a lot faster than I am, and than I do. And if I'm going to keep in step with them, I need to be aware of them and the speed that they're going. It's the same with the Spirit. If you're going to be aware, if you're going to be in step with the Spirit, you're going to have to be aware of the Spirit. Be aware of him. He's at work in your life. We read a little earlier from John that but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all truth. So when the Spirit is at work in your life and when you're keeping in step with him, he's going to be guiding you into truth. What truth has the Spirit of God led you into in the last little while? What is he teaching you? So part of becoming aware of and keeping in step with the Spirit is, Lord, what are you teaching me right now? You know, if you don't have an answer to that question, then that's a good question to start asking the Lord. Lord, what are you teaching me right now? I want to keep in step with you, and so I need to hear from you. So what is he teaching us right now? In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. How has God been leading you lately? How has he been guiding you to do something or not to do something? As you look over the past 2 or 3 weeks, what have you seen in your life where he has led you? Maybe if you look back, it'll be easier to see. But you can see, yeah, he led me here and he led me there. Those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. We're the children of God. And so we are led by the Spirit. What was God up to in your life in the last little while? If you're going to keep in step with the Spirit, you have to be aware of what the Spirit's up to. You have to, we have to see what he's teaching us, see where he's leading us. A little earlier on, we looked at the fruit of the Spirit. We looked at how this fruit is produced when we put our hand in his. But the reality is that there are so many times when we want to pull away from him just before the fruit of the Spirit. This is what Galatians says. It says, so walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. The Spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh. There is a conflict with each other so that you cannot do whatever you want. If you're going to keep in step with the Spirit, then it's important that you put your hand in his hand. And the stuff that your old nature wants to do, you say, no, I'm going to allow God to change me there. I like how the New Living Translation puts it. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us the desire that is opposite to what the sinful nature desires. These two forces constantly fight with each other. Sometimes you're keenly aware of the battle. The temptation will be real, and it'll be big. But you don't have to give in to it because, well, Christ is at work with you and in you. And he's giving you desires. The desire to do good is there. It's just that you have to figure out, okay, which desire am I going to go with? Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says this. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Mind governed by the flesh is death. Mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Set your mind on what the Spirit wants, not on what your selfish old nature wants. See, where you set your mind's eye will determine where your spiritual feet go. If you want to live in peace, let the Spirit govern your mind. He's the Spirit of love, of joy. He's the Spirit of peace. He demonstrates patience and kindness and goodness to us all. He's incredibly faithful and gentle. He helps us to live in the way we're called to live. He wants who he is to become a part of who you are in totality. Pentecost was not just an event in history that Jeff read about. God wants it to be a reality in your life where you're walking filled with the Spirit. Third person of the Trinity comes to us and he fills us with himself, and in doing so, he applies the work of Christ to our lives. You're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's work is applied to your life by the Spirit. If you're a Christian, the Spirit of God has been at work in your life. He is at work in your life. And he will be at work in your life. But your job is to become aware of him. See what he's up to. What he's teaching you. Where he's leading you. If you're not a Christian, then the Spirit of God is going to say, I want you to come to Jesus, to know Jesus. See, as we put our hands in his, because he is the one who fills us with life, real life, abundant life, he's the one who transforms us and makes us into what we're created to be. He's the one who fills you with love and joy and peace. He'll help you with patience and goodness and love. He will take your hand so you can talk to him. You can focus on him. Some people ask, you know, when I pray, do I only have to pray to God or the Father? No, you'll have people in Scripture praying to the Father, to the Son, to the Spirit. So all right to say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, do the work that you want to do. Holy Spirit, can you show me how you're leading me and guiding me? Holy Spirit, what are you up to that I can get on board with? So I say to you, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for sending your Spirit. Thank you, Spirit, that you are with us always. Lord, thank you for the work that you've done for us. Spirit, thank you for how you've applied it to our lives. Holy Spirit, we're not always aware of your work, but we would like to become more aware. Lord, I know that your word says that the children of God are led by the Spirit. Help us to show up and be led by your Spirit. Help us to be taught by you. Help us to live for you. Help us to keep in step with you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.